Believe it or not, this reminds me of Vrindavan. During the construction of the Krishna Balaram Mandir and guest house, there were 300 workers in shifts 24 hours a day. So the devotees said to the workers, stop working during the morning class. And Prabhupada said, no, that is also kirtan. But I don't think they had air hammers. Their banging is one thing, and the air hammers is something else. And the cement mixer, and the generator. And first, a few things about the mantras that we chanted. The purpose of mantras in on occasions like this, it's sound vibration that's invoking the mercy of Krishna and some of the other personalities that are invoked through mantra to create auspiciousness. Same, the chanting of the Brahma Samhita prayers. It's traditional when occasions like this. Auspicious mantras, not just auspicious, but transcendental mantras are chanted together to create an auspicious atmosphere, transcendentally auspicious atmosphere, to sanctify the place and to bring about an auspicious result from the yajna that's being performed. He went through this very quickly, but for your future purposes, when you're performing achman, in addition to the three dops and sipping the water, Om Keshavaya Namaha, you know? Om Narayanaya Namaha, Om Govindaya Namaha. The mantra accompanies the taking of the water. That's what creates the transcendental auspiciousness. Otherwise, just water touching your hand, it's not the same as calling the names of the Lord. Same with tilak on the 12 parts of the body, not just smearing some mud or clay on your forehead or parts of your body, but Om Keshavaya Namaha, Om Narayana Namaha, so on. Chanting the mantras, touching parts of the body, and sanctifying with mantra. And same with the Om Apavitro Pavitro Va. That mantra is similarly explaining the reason behind why we chant the names of the Lord. These are six devotees are receiving Harinam initiation. And that means initiation into chanting of the holy name. And that mantra means whether pavitra or apavitra, purified or unpurified, previous to beginning chanting, sarvasam gatopivar, having passed through all circumstances of life, brahmanda brahmite kona bhagyavan jeev, the soul is wandering and wandering and undergoing this cycle of birth and death in so many different species, one can understand that the soul, Srila Prabhupada taught, before coming to this human form of life, practically speaking, we've experienced all the other forms of life. And that's a lot of other forms of life. And those impressions are there. We may not be able to remember standing as a tree or crawling as an insect, etc., etc. But one can understand, before coming to this human form of life, sarvastam gatopiva, And now, the special gift of this human form of life, such a person, smaret pundarikaksham, just by the remembrance of the lotus-eyed Lord, pundarikaksham, sa abhaya, that person becomes beyond the condition of the fearful existence of material life and becomes properly situated by calling the names of the Lord, Sri Vishnu, Sri Vishnu, Sri Vishnu, or any of the names of the Lord as we do in our process of Krishna consciousness. And from that chanting of the holy name of the Lord, purification. Cheta darpanam arjanam. The heart becomes cleansed. Bhava maha davagni nirvapanam. Like a downpour of rain putting out a blazing forest fire of material existence, this chanting of the holy name has such potency. And so on. The glories of the holy name are intrinsic, built within the holy name. And one can practically realize. So for that to happen requires being a recipient of mercy. There's a very wonderful part of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's writing where he asks the question, how does bhakti begin? And his reasoning is that if one can understand how bhakti begins, then one should nurture that throughout the course of one's life of devotion. But how does bhakti begin? And he then says, like this morning's class, some people think so many pious activities. Just keep piling on those pious activities and eventually you'll come to the bhakti stage. But that's not so, because he reasons that something material can't create something spiritual. So then he reasons, some people say it's the causeless mercy of the Supreme Lord. Then he argues, but that's not so, because if it was just the causeless mercy of the Supreme Lord, then everyone would be a devotee. And we don't see that everyone is a devotee. It doesn't mean there's no causeless mercy of the Supreme Lord, but there's another factor here. And so forth. He goes on considering different options and narrows it down to, at some point in time, either a Madhyama Bhakta or an Uttama Bhakta taking the position of a Madhyama Bhakta. A Madhyama Bhakta means us. Someone's in the intermediate stage. Not in the very, very, very beginning stage, and not in the topmost stage either. But in the intermediate stage, this Madhyama stage, we are being trained to be a little discriminating. Discriminating in the following way. We make distinctions. There's Krishna, the Supreme Lord, and we worship Him. There's the devotees, and we make friendship with devotees. There are innocent persons that aren't yet devotees, and we give mercy to those innocent persons. And there are those that are hardcore atheists. They're against the existence of God, acknowledging the existence of God, and we avoid that association. That's the Madhyama. So the Madhyama is given power of attorney. Is that phrase used in India? Power of attorney? Do you know what that one means? Yes and no. It's like if I'm in India right now, I think. And there may be some business, something important, something that I need to, and I've done this, somebody that can, on my behalf, they sign my name, they sign their name saying, like, if I have to get a visa or something, some document, I give power of attorney to somebody, they can represent me. They signed their name along with this power of attorney, and it's as good as I signed my name. They represent me. I'm legally bound to whatever they signed their name to. I trust them that much. Power of attorney. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, Krishna gives power of attorney to his Madhyama Bhaktas and says to them, you can give me to whoever you like. But then there's conditions where they give Krishna to the innocent. So the innocent receive Krishna and the devotees receive friendship with the devotees and Krishna receives the worship of the Madhyama Bhaktas. And the Madhyama Bhaktas don't attempt to give Krishna to the non-devotees. There's a reason. The non-devotees will just make offense. Prabhupada would quote a saying in the Bible, one should not cast your pearls before swine, means pigs. You don't go to a pig pen and throw a bunch of pearls, because they'll just trample on the pearls. So offensive persons, you put something sacred before them, and they'll make offense. So it'll hurt them if they make offense, so you don't give them the opportunity to make offense. But the innocent, you give Krishna to. Remind them about Krishna, something. That's what we've been speaking about in these classes. So somewhere along the way, somebody that was carrying bhakti in their heart, the heart is the bhakti vessel, and they spilled some bhakti on us. Just because they're merciful. And we received it. And somehow we valued what we received and we continued to nurture that which we received with the assistance of those merciful bhakti carriers, the devotees. So through the association of one who's carrying bhakti, one receives bhakti. And when one receives bhakti, one receives Krishna. Because bhakti devi, is an expansion of Srimati Radharani. Did you know that? We say, Bhakti Devi Ki Jai. That's who she is. She's an expansion of Srimati Radharani who is given to us when we receive some association of devotees or as Madhyama Bhaktas, we're trying to give some association. And that's what we're trying to give. Not ourselves. It's not an egoism event. It's a service event. We're giving bhakti to others. Brahmanda Brahmite Kona Bhagyavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasadi Bhai Bhakti Lata Bija. You know that verse from Chaitanya Charitamrita? Lord Chaitanya speaks it. By the combined mercy of Guru and Krishna, Guru Krishna Prasadi Bhai, sometimes it's Kripai Bhai, Bhakti Lata Bija. This is a very wonderful science. Actually, on the one hand, we'll say in two contrasting things. On the one hand, not only devotion for Krishna, but love for Krishna is within the heart of everyone. Not just people born in a certain culture, or a certain kind of body, or a certain family. Everyone, in all cultures, all nationalities, all colors, all languages, all just be a spirit soul, and bhakti is within. Love for Krishna is within. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema. sadhya kabo noi. Shravanadi shuddha chitte karaye yudoi. Krishna prema is within the heart and it's awakened by shravana adi, beginning with hearing, etc. Shravanam, kirtanam. By the process of devotional service, love for Krishna is awakened. So on the one hand, bhakti is already there. In its mature stage, it's Krishna prema. On the other hand, Lord Chaitanya says that one gets the seed, bija, of bhakti from the combined mercy of Guru and Krishna. Question. Which is it? Is bhakti already there, or bhakti is something that you have to receive? And the seed of bhakti you have to receive. You see the apparent contradiction? Our acharyas explained that like a seed stays in its dormant state until it's nourished. You put some water, put in the soil, it softens, a little sunlight gradually, the little seed will sprout gradually. So the awakening of that seed of bhakti is through the association of, because the spiritual master is one who's carrying the mercy of Krishna. And Krishna sends his mercy through the agency of his representatives. In this way, the dormant love for Krishna becomes awakened. It's already there, but it becomes awakened. That seed is attraction for Krishna once again. And as that attraction for Krishna grows and grows, then the darkness of material existence becomes less and less. It becomes illumined by the light of transcendental knowledge and transcendental life through the strength of devotional service. And it all begins just from this receiving of mercy from a devotee. And as we nurture that by proper guidance under the authority of the scripture, through the training of those that are training us in Krishna consciousness, that creeper grows and grows and grows. In the language of Chaitanya Charitamrita, the lata, the bhakti lata creeper, grows beyond this realm, beyond the heavenly realm, through the layers of the universe into the spiritual sky, comes to Goloka Vrindavan, where it bears flowers and eventually fruits at the lotus feet of Krishna as an offering unto him. That's this bhakti lata that awakens through the mercy of Guru and Krishna. There's some effort that we must exert from our side, and that effort is to carry out the instructions from the spiritual master and scripture, so that we can, on the one hand, carefully cultivate bhakti, and the other hand, carefully avoid those things that destroy bhakti. Just like in Rupa Goswami's Nectar of Instruction, or Upadesha Amrita, Shadbir Bhaktir Prasidyati, Shadbir Bhaktir Vinashati. There are six things that enhance and the six things that destroy bhakti. Or Anukalyasya Sankalpa Pratikalyasya Varjanam. The principles of surrender in Padma Purana teach those things that are favorable for bhakti, we accept them. Those things that are unfavorable, we reject them. The do's and the don'ts, it's always there. But the goal is not just do the do's and avoid the don'ts. The goal is awakening our attraction for Krishna. When I get back to America, there's going to be a during the Christmas holiday, we're having a seminar on always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna. Smartavya satatam Vishnur. Vishmartavya najatuchit. Always remember Krishna and in no circumstance forget Krishna. And that's the principle that all regulations are the kinkaram, they're the servants of, that one principle. Always remember Krishna. Become attached to Krishna. Become a lover of Krishna. And all the things that we're doing in the sadhana stage is to come to that. The mature stage. And the devotees that are receiving initiation have been recognized by the temple directors here as very sincere persons. The first initiation ceremony I participated in, Srila Prabhupada said, he spoke about initiation this way. He said, the initiation is for those who are serious. And then he looked around the room and he said, many of you are here just out of curiosity and you're here for some time and you'll go away. And that's okay because you'll get spiritual benefit. That's okay. But initiation is for those who are serious. Then the standard was more relaxed. He said, those that chant 16 rounds for 6 months, they can be initiated. That shows you're serious. The bar is a little higher these days. But Prabhupada was in a missionary mood to simply give Lord Chaitanya's mercy and spread his worldwide movement and call upon those sincere souls to help him carry forward the mission of giving Krishna, putting out the fire of material existence in this difficult age of Kali. But that's what's taking place. That the sincerity, in part, is measured by submission, pranipat. In one initiation lecture that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave, it was a very large initiation with many hundreds of disciples, and at the end, he gave his lecture and spoke about what is the event that's taking place at initiation. And it's a twofold event. It's submission and acceptance. The acceptance is on the part of the disciplic succession. When initiation takes place, it signifies formal acceptance by the disciplic succession, which means by Krishna. You become officially part of Krishna's family. We're eternally part of Krishna's family. Aham Bija Pratak Pita. He's the seed-giving father. But he is acknowledging, yes, I accept you. And there's the submission. Very interestingly, Bhaktisiddhanta said, according to the quality and sincerity of submission, the experience will be different for the different initiates. And then he went on to say that submission is not just a one-time event, it's an ongoing act of submission unto the disciplic succession. And if, over a period of time, submission slackens, then that connection also becomes weakened and one will become again covered with the same variety of material attractions that one had left behind before that process of connection and submission and spiritual progress took place. So initiation is a very appropriate translation for diksha. Initiation means, to initiate something means to begin something. So it's the beginning. It's a conclusion of a certain stage, but it's a beginning of a formal journey, a formal commitment to that journey of going back to Godhead, because there'll be vows that are taken, and in order to complete vows, for the rest of your life, because that's what vows mean, it has to be with submission. It can't be, oh, I'll take a vow today and submission is less tomorrow and I'll still keep my vows. It means continuing in that genuine submission to the cyclic succession and unto Krishna, to achieve Krishna's lotus feet, to achieve that shelter. In fact, that desire, if one is chanting properly and performing devotional service properly, that desire becomes stronger and stronger and stronger. Not as unsteady like we were speaking this morning. Stronger and stronger. The stage of steady and ever stronger submission, attachment, attraction for Krishna becomes stronger and stronger. So I'm looking at the clock, and is the door going to close at noon?
10 o'clock.
Huh? Oh, so let's do our vows in 8 minutes. All of you taking first initiation, come before Srila Prabhupada so you can take your vows before the deities. All 6 of you, first initiates, come before Srila Prabhupada. Let's go quickly. Anil and Shuddha, you come first. Okay, before just Madan Mohan and Gornatai and Lord Jagannath and all the devotees and Srila Prabhupada, you get to take your initiation vows. I'll ask 3 questions. How many rounds you chant every day? Okay. Okay. And the rules that you'll follow? The 4 regular principles? Yeah. Fourth one? One devotee was very nervous when he was taking his initiation vows, like you are. And he couldn't remember the 4th one, and Prabhupada said, oh, that's the one you like, huh? Take it from the top again. I bet you can remember. Yeah? Okay, you got it. You just got nervous. And you'll follow Srila Prabhupada's teachings very carefully for the rest of your life. Your initiated name is Akinchana. Akinchana means, you'll find it described in Queen Kunti's prayers, it means having no material shelter, and that opens access to Krishna's lotus feet where he is one's only shelter. You'll find Queen Kunti describing like that. Only one who is Akinchana can very sincerely call out to Krishna for shelter. How many rounds you'll chant every day? Okay. And the rules that you'll follow, say you can say it in Hindi. She's nervous too. 3 down, 1 to go. Okay. Okay, you got it. Okay. And like your husband, you'll very carefully follow Srila Prabhupada's teachings. You've been doing. How many years have you been chanting japa? How many years? 8 years. Same? Okay, your initiated name is Shuddha Bhakti.
Shuddha Bhakti Devi Dasi Mataji Ki Jai.
Very good. Another translation program here. How many rounds you'll chant every day? Okay. How many years have you been chanting? 8 years also. The rules that you follow in Hindi? She got them. Okay. And you'll follow Srila Prabhupada's teachings carefully? Yes. Your initiated name is?
Kalpataru.
Kalpataru Devidasi Mataji ki jai.
Kalpataru is a desire tree. Wish-fulfilling tree. But in the spiritual world, they only have spiritual desire. So make sure your desires are spiritual. Okay, how many rounds you'll chant on your beads every day? And the rules that you'll follow? Good. And following Srila Prabhupada's teachings very carefully for the balance of your life. Yes? Okay. Initiated name is
Radhika Raman Das.
Radhika Raman Prabhu ki.
Narada Muni Bhajai Vina. He travels freely anywhere in the spiritual and material world, just calling the name Radhika Ramana Namine Das. Four rules that you'll follow. You can recite them. Okay. And you'll chant how many rounds every day? Okay. And you'll follow your husband, who is carefully going to follow the teachings of Srila Prabhupada. Your initiated name is Rama Devi Dasi.
Rama Devi Dasi ki Mataji ki jai.
Rama, you'll find her name in Sri Brahma Samhita. Rama Devi is the associate, the consort of Vishnu. Mahavishnu was associating with Rama Devi. You'll find the description there. It's also in Srimad Bhagavatam. And carefully following Srila Prabhupada's teachings. Yeah? So with a very unique name like Zubin, how do you come up with an initiated name? So I thought, rather than the name and the first letter of the name, think of the person. So your initiated name is Guru Das.
Haribo, Guru Das Prabhu ki.
You know what that means. Okay.